Good. Om Shanti, good morning. Welcome. Thank you very much for coming, first of all. I know a few of your faces, but I don't know everyone's faces. So I'm sure in the process of our day together, we'll get to know each other quite well. Because, as you know, the purpose of today is an exploration into what it means to be a leader. And I'm sure you've noticed in the past 10, 15, 20 years the explosive popularity of the subject of leadership in terms of books, gurus, seminars, retreats, websites, processes, etc. I think if you Google leadership today, you get something like 6,000 or 7,000 different links to different things, people, and places. So our purpose today really is to kind of, for me, unpack what leadership means to us a little bit more in this context, I suppose. And so the day itself is really quite interactive. I'm not going to do a lot of talking, I hope, but I'm going to get you to do a lot of the work or exploration, if you like. And so that'll be a kind of combination, I think, of self-reflection and conversation. I don't know if any of you were in the course I did last year. I think that was around, I can't even remember the topic now. I was basically around the 7 days course and all the different subjects of the course. And if you remember, we really built it around conversation. And the reason for that is that in conversation, something happens which doesn't happen when you're just listening. And that's usually something called realization, as you have the occasional aha moment. Or as I like to describe it, realizing what you know only when you say it. And it's when you say it and not just think it or listen to it that you actually, now I get it. So the greatest value for me is in the conversation. So I'm going to get you to talk to each other quite a bit. So I hope you're ready to talk. And if you're here just to listen and have a snooze, then there might be some other rooms in the building which are more appropriate for that. So it's not hard work, but really just drawing on what's already deeply embedded in your spiritual intellect already. The subject, of course, is the enlightened leader and what it means to be a little bit more enlightened and what it means to be a leader. And so this first part this morning is really about exploring leadership and what we mean by leadership. And then giving context to leadership, because leadership has to be defined according to the context in which it is taking place. And then after that, following that, I'll take you through and get you to go through really in your own way what I call the 10 shifts from force to power. And these for me are the essential shifts that we are all going through in our spiritual journey, but maybe just kind of formalized in a way that you can see clearly the shifts that you need to make. Many you will have made already, but perhaps need a little refining, and others might be a little new. But for me, these are the 10 main shifts which will kind of define my energy more in a leadership context. But we'll come back to that a little bit later on. What I'd like to do to begin with is ask you one very simple question and get you to just reflect for a moment. Have you all got something to write on? Have you all got something to scribble on? Because that's what we'll do a little bit of too, a little bit of scribbling as you reflect for yourself. And very simple question to begin with is, what does leadership mean to you? What does leadership mean to you? How do you define it or describe it? So So a few moments just to explore that question for yourself. What does leadership mean? I'm just noticing some of you might need a publisher afterwards. I wasn't asking for an essay. So do you want to check in with one other person, and that will be your speaking person for today, and just compare notes and see if you've got anything in common. Yeah, can I do that? Hello, good morning, how are you? I am, unless you already introduced yourselves. Just one other person. Can you do that? Say hello. No. To find one other person and share what you've written down. Share notes. You got some newcomers here. Brothers are allowed to talk to sisters. It's okay. Okay. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Anyone? Leadership. What does leadership mean to you? Anyone? Just take up your hand. Anyone? What was coming up? Yeah. So leads positive way, listens and provides information. Fantastic. Good, yeah. So the leader is going somewhere with a vision, to the highest vision, and is bringing others with them. Yeah, it's good, great, yeah. Leads by example, that's the oldest kind of definition, isn't it? The traditional one. You can only lead by example. It's good, yeah. Yeah. Just here first and then here, sorry. So the leader is choosing to follow a path in which they believe in, okay? And they guide others by being a role model, okay? Fantastic, yeah. Margaret?
That inspires us to take risks to come out of their comfort zone and find their own creativity.
So inspires others to take risks to come out of their comfort zone and find their own creative spirit. Fantastic. I think that's the beginning of the first chapter for your little... Go on, go for it. Yes. Yes, you had your hand up. To provide insight and solution. Okay, fantastic. Yeah, yeah. So they take responsibility for themselves to grow in their spiritual path, and then they help others to do the same. Okay, brilliant, brilliant, wonderful. Dorothy?
Inspires.
Fantastic. That's all they do, just inspire? It's good, it's a good start. Everything they do, they're inspirational. My goodness, they need a lot of energy for that. Anyone else? Yeah. Someone who shows you what you're looking for. What, when you're shopping in the supermarket? Right? So the guy on the side, yeah, the guy in the aisle might be, in that moment, he shows you what you're looking for. It's a bit simplistic, I know, but yeah, yeah. Exactly, so he leads you to the, yeah. That's good. Very good, yeah. So they lead themselves and then they lead others, okay? Great, yeah. So getting other people to have passion in something, okay? Fantastic. It's very interesting because what you've all kind of described leaders as someone who does something, have you noticed? You've kind of couched the description for you, and it's okay, as someone who's doing something. And what I would like to kind of explore with you today is more the individual who doesn't need to do anything, but who just needs to be. And this is our deepest challenge in a sense. You know, in the world out there, leadership tends to be defined, first of all, by a position. You know, people are leaders by their position. And that's usually in some formal structure like an organization. whether it's a company or a voluntary organization like the BKs, for example, people have certain positions. And so they get with the position what you might call leadership responsibilities. So this is the person who is a leader by position. And I noticed in the past few years, maybe about 10 years ago it started, and we started identifying people not by position but by their thinking. And we started calling certain individuals, he's a thought leader, she's a thought leader, we need to have her at the conference to tell us about what they're thinking about. And usually they're a thought leader because they're having very original thoughts or very creative thoughts, and so they're kind of given that frame, I guess, that label. So they're a leader by virtue of what's becoming a little bit invisible. Position's very visible, thoughts are very invisible. But the deepest form of leadership I would like to suggest that we explore together is what I call a state of being leader. A leader by virtue of their state of being. This is when it gets really subtle, but very interesting too. Back out into the world, and we tend to define a leader as a leader very much by the context in which they find themselves. For example, if you go into the context of science, then a leader in the scientific field, in the field of science, might be someone who has an amazing scientific discovery, or who brings a deep, complicated scientific theory into reality. And suddenly, they're put up on a pedestal and everyone goes, leader, follow them. Brilliant discovery, brilliant development. So they would be a leader in the field of science. If you go into the field of politics, of course, then leaders are those who are voted by others into a certain position of responsibility. So they are put up on the pedestal, leader, political, big responsibility. If you go into the field of business, the field of the corporate field, if you like, then the leader is the one who is either the entrepreneurial individual who's prepared to do what Margaret was talking about, take risks, to do something very creative in the field of business. Or else they might be someone who's leading an organization into great heights of material success. So they would be a leader in the field of business. And today, they are the modern gurus. You pick up the newspapers and the magazines and the profiles of these incredibly successful leaders in the field of business. But I'm going to suggest that none of those are relevant to us. In fact, we're transcending all of these fields. You are transcending all of these fields, and you are a leader in the field of fields. You are a leader, or we're developing the capacity to be a leader in the field of fields. Now, what do I mean by fields, plural? If you think about it, every human being is a source of energy. I don't have to explain two energies, body, soul, matter, mind. What do we say? Form and consciousness. So consciousness is often referred to as a field of energy. It's obviously very invisible, as we would say, very subtle. But every human being is a moving, dynamic field of energy. And we are, as individuals, in the process of refining our field, of purifying our field, of expanding our field. I quite like the very simple metaphor of the the light and the light bulb, if you like. If you switch on a light, then suddenly there's a field of energy that fills the room, and we call that light. And so it's the field of light in the room that allows you to see what's in the room. Yeah? And we take it for granted, of course. Switch it on, light comes on. But actually, that light bulb is creating a field of light. Yeah? And it touches everything in the room. That light touches every object in the room in some way. And it's a little bit like that with our energy, the energy of consciousness, the field of consciousness. We have, you have, the capacity to touch every other field in your presence. With me so far? So far, so good? So, usually in many rooms, when you have a light, you have something called a dimmer switch on the side, don't you? So you switch it on, and then you gradually turn up the brightness, so that eventually there's illumination, luminosity fills the room. And that illumination allows us to actually see even the smallest of objects. And so it's a little bit like the same for us, is that we're turning up the brightness of our consciousness, so the field of energy that we're radiating actually has the capacity to expand and touch whatever it will touch. And primarily, we're touching the fields of others. Even in the world outside, probably the most common definition of leadership is one word. It's one word. It's this word, influence. It's the individual who has the capacity to influence others. And of course, influence leads to inspiration. Influence leads to other people thinking, I want to follow him. They'll only do that if they're influenced in a certain way. That's why in the world outside, the difference between manager and leader is manager is a position, but leadership is an attitude. Yeah, an attitude is another word for this radiant energy of consciousness, this field of energy which every one of us is emitting. So we're becoming leaders in the field of fields. Which means, actually, we're not here to do anything. And we kind of know this, I think. We're here to be who we really are. And I think maybe for us, the classic example of great leaders in the field of fields are the ones that we look up to a lot. It's the daddies. Where they just have to walk into a room, and how many of us have had the experience of being touched by their presence? That's all. Just to be in their presence. And even in the world outside, there's many individuals who have this kind of reputation of you just need to be in their presence, to feel their presence. So it's at the level of their field of energy that you feel their presence, and you're influenced by their presence. You get it? So that as we turn the dimmer switch, in other words, as we purify our consciousness, the field of our energy, we're able to, what happens to you when you're in the presence of someone at a higher vibration? What happens to us? It lifts us into that vibration. Is that right? We feel lifted into that vibration, and as we move into that vibration, we have our own moments of, wait a minute, this is more real for me, this is more true for me, this is more, do you get it? See it? So someone with a, what do we call that high vibration of our consciousness? What are the words we use for that? Sometimes we use the words love. Sometimes we use the word joy. Sometimes we use these words, don't we? These sort of words of virtue. That what are they describing? They're just describing a very high vibration of consciousness. And if you carry that high vibration into the office at work, what happens to the other people? It lifts them as well. And some days they'll walk up to you and they say, God, it's great having you around. You're always so... And you're like, and that you're like this, and you're like that, and you're like, you're fantastic. Great to have you here. And these are the moments when you know you didn't do anything. You didn't say anything, really. But you just had a higher vibration. So you were a leader in the fields around you. See what I'm... And so that's really what we're here. That's why I'm here. That's why I come here. That's why I've been coming here for 35 years. Is to turn up the dimmer switch, if you like, slowly but surely, so that my energy has an influence when in the presence of other fields. And it's not even a conscious intention, oh, I've got to walk into this room and be a leader in the field of fields. I'm not even thinking that. It's just that you observe that happening naturally. And when you start to notice that, when people start to maybe even tell you, oh, it's great having you around, then suddenly you kind of realize that leadership at its deepest meaning is just the individual and their vibration. Yeah, the field of energy that they're emitting. Has anyone ever had their aura measured here? Aura is another word for your field. Yeah, I was with a friend in Canada about 6 months ago, and he got a couple of coat hangers. And he says, I'm going to douse your energy. And they do that by walking away and to see how far back they can go before the coat hangers stop crossing. You know, and so they walk towards you like this. And as soon as the coat hangers cross, then that's when they're bumping into the field of your energy. And this person did this for me, and he went back, and he went back, and he went back, and he went to another room before they stopped crossing. And I think that's BK, vibration, that's our energy. I didn't know that. I don't know whether that's far or close. I can't. I've never done it before. But he was measuring the radiant field. Our aura, another word for our energy. Dowsing? Dowsing? You know that you've heard of dowsing for water. You don't know about dowsing. I think it's time. You can go Dr. Google later today. You know Dr. Google? Dowsing. D-O-W-S-I-N-G. You can explore that one. It's all about fields. So, what I thought might be quite useful now is again, just a little reflection for you. A little reflection for you is what might be the difference between, a little discernment, what's the difference between leadership in a formal organizational context and leadership in life. Yeah. Leadership in a formal organizational context, whether it's a business or organization, doesn't matter, or leadership in life. What's the difference? What would be the contrasts for you? We've touched on a few of them already, but actually there's quite a few. So take a few moments just to reflect and maybe put a line down the middle and top left hand column, leadership organization, top right hand column, leadership in life. Yeah. And in life I'm kind of pointing more at the spiritual context, organizational context, kind of spiritual context. What's the difference between the two? Yeah. Maybe give you one example. In an organizational context, you have a position. Leader has a position. Whereas in life, no position. You have no position. In fact, you actually don't. need or want a physician. So just see this. I'm just contrasting. Any other areas of contrast that you could think of? Just take a moment to reflect and see what comes up. So again, just check in with your partner. Compare notes. See if you've got anything in common. Contrasting the two, what would be the contrast between the two? It's all gone quiet. It's all gone so quiet. You're very shy. Very shy. So, okay, let me just run through a few and then see if you've got any in common. So a leader in an organization would be very kind of formalized and they'd have a very well-recognized position, whereas the real leader in life has no need for a position. They're kind of positionless, actually. The leader in an organization kind of lives for the future. Yeah, because they have targets to hit. They have places to go, places where they need to lead people to. So they're always very future-focused. Whereas the leader in life, very present, yeah, in the moment. They live in the moment. So it's always a good measure of your inner effectiveness is how much you are in the moment. The leader in the organization, their success, the success of their leadership is defined by achievement. So they're very achievement orientated, whereas a leader in life, they're not focused on the result. They're focused actually in the moment again. Do you see? Because future success is really what the leader out there is defined by. How successful, what you achieve in the future. So a leader in an organization, their job is to get people to follow them. That's why they sometimes say one of the definitions of success is your ability to inspire people to follow you. Whereas leader in life, the leader in the field of fields, do you want followers?
No.
So no followers required. In fact, you don't want followers. Friends, all right, friends. They don't have followers, they have friends. That's nice, I like that actually. So the leader in the organization is very much focused on getting people to follow. Whereas the leader in life, friends. The leader in the organization is going to feel, quite frequently, a bit threatened. Why? Because they have a position. And positions can be threatened because they're subject to change. They're subject to other people. I want your position. So whereas a leader in life, no position, can never be threatened, can never be threatened. They'll never be threatened. So they're free of, what's the emotion that comes with, yes, fear. They're free of fear. It's a paradox, actually. They're fearless. They're fearless. And you become fearless by not identifying with your position. The leader in the organization creates a culture of competition. Whereas the leader in life competes in the field of fields. The vibration of competition is quite low, isn't it? So what are you creating? A vibration of giving. So cooperation. So you make the shift. Competition to cooperation. The leader in the... Well, and any others. What else was coming up in your... Any other... contrasts in your conversation? Yes.
Is limited
by
the organization.
Okay. Okay, so it's limited to the organization's aims, if you like. Okay. All right. Whereas
in life, if you are
Yeah. Okay. So is the leader in your life is unlimited. Okay. So it's unlimited. So there's no limit. That means there's no achievement. There's no ending. There's nothing to go. There's not going anywhere. Not trying to get anything. Not trying to. Okay. Okay. Anything else? Anyone else? Yeah. Visible and invisible. Yeah, visible and invisible. The leader in the organization is very visible, and they have to make themselves visible sometimes to be effective, they would say. Yeah. Whereas the leader is invisible. What's the word we use in our wonderful institution? We're incognito. The unknown one. It's good. Anyone else? Have a name. No name. Name of what? Or title, position. You mean, yes, to do with position, title. Okay. No title, no names. That's okay. Yeah, it's good. Pari, money. So the reward here is money. Oh, okay. So they're rewarded by money, whereas leader in life's reward. Happiness? Yeah. Contentment? Sorry? Contentment. Containment. Contentment. Okay? To be contented. So one tries to buy contentment and the other one generates it. Anyone else?
Organization, they're controlling.
Controlling.
And the other side is loving and
kind. Okay. So controlling. Okay. It's good. Ego. Not may. Sorry. Okay, so the ego, so there's the ego here, the ego is. Yeah, whereas the leader in life is humility, is coming from a place of humility. Okay? Excuse my writing. It's good. Margaret, you were going
to
say what? So
they
network, they're networkers to make connections. And they just are connected. What is that? Is that? Is. They are. They is connected. So they network to try and connect. And whereas the real leader in life, they are aware of their. And is that they're already connected. Is it a word of already there? Yeah, just isn't it? Yeah. Already connected. Don't need to seek it. Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. Already always. Already always. Lovely, isn't it? And so there's that takes the tension of gotta connect, gotta get on, what are you doing? What are you doing? And it's good. Anyone else? You can. Can they both come together, in other words? Can you be in an organization and still do this? Is that what you're saying? Yeah. What do you think? Yes. Yeah? Of course. Do you think so? Okay. Yeah? If you're a BK. Yeah? Yeah. I think so. I don't know if you can actually. I think what happens in reality, and it's a major challenge, we were talking about it yesterday, because there's a whole generation of new BKs coming through, and their primary challenge is working in the world, very sophisticated, fast, ruthless world, especially the world of technology, yeah. And their biggest challenge is bringing spirituality into that context. How do I maintain my spiritual process in the context of a place, a context which is the opposite, in a sense? So it's a big challenge. And what I tend to think happens is that you do for a while and you use the workplace as your test. You use the relationships in the workplace to be your teachers, if you like. But there comes a moment when you naturally just gravitate away from it. Yeah, but it's not a moment where you go, I've had enough. I don't want to do it anymore. I want to surrender. I want to be a BK all the time, which is like running away from it. It's like wherever you are, it's wherever you're meant to be in that moment. And it has its lessons. It has the relationships of your, to resurface your karma. So it has all of that until there's a moment when you just move out of it naturally. And that's when your vibration has the dimmer switch. You've managed to turn it back up again a little bit, if you know what I mean. And then you attract something else, some opportunity, something away. That's how I tend to think it kind of happens. So it's a little bit of both, really. It's not one or the other. I think seeking, is it one or the other? I think it is a bit of both, but only up to a point, if that makes sense. Because the organizational context actually becomes quite meaningless. It loses its meaning to an awakened soul. Sorry. Yeah. It depends on the individual, the context that you're in, what you're doing in that context. There's so many factors, really. So you can't, I don't think you can pin it down. So yeah, no, yeah, okay. Yeah, it's good. It's good. I mean, I'm still working after 35 years. I still wander into that world. But I do it in the kind of freelance basis as opposed to 9 to 5 and every day. So I'm kind of, you know, a little bit like, hey, oh yes, you get time off here. Oh wait a minute, there's no time off there. Hold on a second. I don't think I like it anymore. Yeah, but the one who works beyond 5 o'clock might not be doing it for a particularly spiritual reason. But then they might be workaholics. Or they might be doing it to get the recognition of others, you see. So what we didn't do here is that in this universe, that we tend to do what we do to gain the recognition of others. Whereas in the spiritual universe, actually we're liberating ourselves from the need to be recognized. And, you know, sometimes they say the most common disease in the world, and it certainly, I think, might be occasionally prevalent for us still, is called LGS. It's a virus called LGS. Do you all know LGS? You all got a bit of LGS? It's called looking good syndrome. Yeah. So when you work in organization, you're always needing recognition. Whereas on the other side, well, what do you think?
Oh, you don't need it.
No. Are you?
Yeah, my God.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay. Well, that depends on what you mean by recognized by God. But yes, okay. Yes, okay. Well, on the other side is that you're free from the need to be recognized by anyone, ultimately. Even God, I think it's just a consolation or a reassuring thought. Baba recognizes me, I'm a special child. You know? And eventually that disappears as well. Organization, stress-free. Stressful, stress-free. Are you sure?
Yes.
Are you very sure? Okay. So actually, being stress-free is the sign that you are on the right way, if you like. Yeah. But I think if you ask most people on the way, there's many moments when you're not. But it's a different kind of stress. For us, if you like, it's a different form, which might be another seminar.
We can
yeah.
More light.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. As you turn up the switch, and that's what I'd like to talk to now, is how do we turn up the switch? Because we also start, we're coming here to start with the light very low. the vibration is very low. So in the universe of physical light, to turn up the switch in a room to increase the field, the strength of the field, we have to put more electricity in to the light bulb, if that makes sense. But on the spiritual journey, for me, it's not about putting more in, it's not about accumulating, it's about getting rid of what's in the way of the light, if that makes sense. Yeah, and what's in the way are what we call our sanskars. And all our sanskars together, they kind of cover over. If you were to put a lampshade around the light bulb, then it would lessen the brightness and trap the light. Is that right? We all know that. So it's a little bit like our sanskars together are like the lampshade around the lamp of the soul. And they trap the energy of our consciousness. Because we keep activating those sanskars. We keep bringing them to life. So that means we keep energizing them, which means our energy is going into the sanskar and not getting out into the field of fields. If that makes sense. So the shift from force to power is really recognizing which sanskars are in the way, which habits we keep energizing, which is in the way of our power. And these are the habits of force. These are the habits of living forcefully. And some of them are quite subtle and obvious, and some of them are not so subtle and not so obvious. There's probably a lot more than 10, but in the context of being a more enlightened leader, I'd just like to focus on 10 of them, some for a short time, some for a bit longer. Oh, it depends on how it goes. And so I'm going to suggest to you, and as the day goes on, you might find others as well. The first one, which I'd ask you to reflect on a little bit, because as we go through each one, I'm going to challenge you to see where in your life today you are sitting in a forceful state as opposed to a powerful state. In other words, to see where this habit is occurring for you. And I think these habits occur for all of us to some degree or other. And so when you see what the habit is and where it's occurring, then it's the beginning of letting it go and making the transition back into your power. And the first one is to do with our vision. And it's to do with how we see others. And it's to do with seeing others as objects. Yeah. And when you see someone as an object, you're in a forceful relationship with that individual. But of course, you know, we're learning to see others as souls or people. Yeah, and it's people. And when you see someone as a human being as opposed to an object, it's a very different energy that you're generating. It's because it's a very different vision you have of that person. And so here's the question for you. Is who in your life today do you look at as an object? Do you tend to look at as an object? You know, objects are very functional things. They're usually things that we use to get things done. So they're in the world of get something done. Ah, they can do something for me. I'll get them to do something for me. So I'm looking at them as an object as opposed to seeing them as a human being. So who in your life today do you tend to see as an object? And then the second question, just two questions to reflect on. When you see someone as an object, how does that affect the relationship you have with that person? How do you sense that affects the relationship that you have with that person when you just see them as an object and not a human being. Yeah. So again, just a few moments to reflect. The first shift. No, reflecting time. Reflection, personal reflection. I'm not asking you to answer.
I'm sorry.
I thought you were answering. I'm so sorry. Yeah, go on. Please finish. You see someone as an object when you see them as... Yeah, if you need to do something for you. No, a person. When you see someone else, a human being, as an object as opposed to a human being, a real person. Yeah, yeah, that kind of thing.
Did you have expectations from that?
It could be. So just that's up to you. That's for your... What's your relationship with them? What does that do to the relationship? How does it affect the relationship when you see them as an object?